Welcome to The Lay Disciple. Tom Murray is taking us systematically through a study on the Messiah. We've been answering the question, what kind of Messiah did the Old Testament reveal? Today, Tom will take you down the path that Jesus took his disciples when they were saddened and confused about his crucifixion. Keep listening.
What we've been doing together is just looking at the Old Testament to see what kind of Redeemer or Messiah the Old Testament actually revealed that we should be looking for. And as I have reminded you, the Jewish rabbis divided the levels of inspiration of Scripture into three categories: the law, the prophets, and the writings. And we have already searched the law passages. Now we are looking through the prophets. And last time we came to Isaiah 42. And I told you that from Isaiah 42 to Isaiah 66, we have what is known as the servant passages, or the servant of Jehovah. And in Isaiah 42, 1-6 last time, we just were introduced to this servant of Jehovah, which is a foreshadowing or a revelation of what the servant of Jehovah or the Messiah would be like. And in verses 1-6 of Isaiah 42, we learn that the Messiah would be anointed by the Holy Spirit, and that he would conduct himself in meekness and in gentleness, and that even though the Messiah's mission would appear to end in failure at his first coming, it would in fact be a complete success, because his rejection by the nation of Israel and his crucifixion was actually part of the divine plan. And the success of his mission actually required his death on a cross. And then we learned that Messiah's mission would result or include Gentiles in God's plan of salvation. Now today we're going to go to Isaiah 49 verses 1-13, and this deals with a time in the servant of Jehovah's life when the servant of Jehovah becomes discouraged. And this, as I told you, there are five passages in Isaiah from 42-66 that deal with the servant of Jehovah, and now this is the second of those five. So in chapter 42, we were introduced to the servant, but in chapter 49, verses 1-13, we're going to learn something about his actual mission when he arrives on the earth. And what is going to happen is it's going to develop the promise that was made in Isaiah 42 that he would be a blessing to the Gentiles. Now, this blessing to the Gentiles is going to result from his initial rejection, or his rejection at his first coming by the nation of Israel, although assurance is given in Scripture that he will finally be accepted by Israel at a future date after his first coming. Now, the actual discouragement of the servant is in Isaiah 49, verses 1-4, and it does, in these passages, highlight only a temporary discouragement in the life of the Messiah. In verse 1, the words of the Messiah himself are actually the ones being spoken, and they are being spoken prophetically by the prophet Isaiah himself. The verse says, "Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother he named me." Now, what we have here is Isaiah is saying in behalf of the servant of Jehovah that from his very conception, Messiah has been given a specific mission by God himself. Now, in the New Testament, in the gospel writer Matthew in chapter 1, verse 21, we are told that at the time of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, that the angel said to Joseph, the one who was espoused to Mary at the time of her conception, The angel said, Joseph, you are to call him Jesus or Yeshua or Joshua, because he will save his people from their sins. So again, in this passage in Matthew 1:21, we have a reference to a mother but not a father, which is consistent with the virgin birth passage we studied earlier in Isaiah 7:14. But then in verse 2, we've learned that the Messiah has been specifically called and equipped for the task. Let me read verse 2 to you in the New American Standard Version. And he, that is God, has made my mouth, the mouth of the Messiah or the servant, like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has concealed me, and he has also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. So what this verse tells us is that not only was the servant of Jehovah or the Messiah specifically called, but God has prepared him, or did prepare him, and equipped him for the task for which he was sent. Then in verse 3, the Messiah, or the servant of Jehovah, is called Israel par excellence, meaning he will be the only Jew that will ever completely and perfectly fulfill the Mosaic law. Listen to what it says in verse 3. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will show my glory. So, he is the only Jew that ever fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the Mosaic law. And then, it's in verse 4 where I really want to point your attention, that most of the discouragement of the servant of Jehovah when he does come on the earth actually occurs. The servant, despite his perfection, is going to be rejected by the nation of Israel and its leadership, and it is this rejection which will cause his sadness. Yet this servant of Jehovah, or the Messiah, still has hope, because he says in verse 4, my reward is with my God. Listen to verse 4. But I said, this is the servant speaking, but I said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and for vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. Even though he is rejected, and from the New Testament point of view, the only place in the life of Jesus, the Messiah, where this passage in Isaiah could actually find its fulfillment is during the hours that he spent in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he went to Calvary. In the gospel accounts of that night, one of the reasons for Jesus' discouragement when in the garden it says he sweat drops of blood, and he was in a great agony. One of the reasons for his discouragement was his fear of experiencing spiritual death. Now, as I have reminded you in other broadcasts, we can't really relate to that because we were born spiritually dead or separated from God by our physical birth. But there had never been a moment in the history of the second person of the Godhead, that is, Jesus, where he had ever known separation from his Father. And so he prays that the cup, that is, his having to taste spiritual death, might pass from him. And what Isaiah 49 is highlighting for us is not only that he didn't want to drink the cup of spiritual separation, which occurred during the 3 hours of darkness that Jesus was on the cross, but secondly, from this passage in Isaiah 49, we learn that one of the reasons he was also discouraged was because he had ministered to the nation of Israel for 3.5 years, and although he had come as their Messiah and fulfilled all Scripture, the Jewish nation up to the time of Gethsemane was still rejecting him. Now at this point, when the servant of Jehovah is at this very moment in his life in Gethsemane, God gives him an answer, and that answer comes out in chapter 49, verses 5 and 6. And the Lord replies with words of encouragement. He begins in verse 5 by summarizing the servant's original commission. So let me read that to you in verse 5. "And now says the Lord Jehovah, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, and to bring Jacob back to him in order that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord Jehovah, and my God is my strength." So the servant's original commission by the Father was to bring Israel, the nation, to spiritual salvation. Secondly, it was to gather the dispersed Israel and bring them to physical restoration back to the land. But given Israel's rejection of the servant of Jehovah, or the Messiah, at his first coming, but how can these objectives now be accomplished since Israel has rejected him? Well, the Lord Jehovah continues in verse 6 by giving the servant of Jehovah a third objective that was part of his plan when he sent his son into the world. Let me read verse 6. Jehovah says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up just the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations," or the Gentiles, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. So the third objective in the servant of Jehovah's mission in his first coming was to be a light to and to bring salvation to the Gentile nations. So Israel's rejection of the Messiah at his first coming was part of God's plan. It need not be a source of permanent discouragement to him. It was always God's plan that for a period of time, the first two objectives, that is, to bring Israel to spiritual salvation and to physical restoration, would be set aside in order that salvation might go to the Gentiles. So again, we affirm that the Gentiles would benefit from Israel's rejection of the servant of Jehovah, or the Messiah, at his first coming. Well, I see we're out of time in this broadcast, so you'll have to come back, and we'll continue with the servant of Jehovah passages to see what we can learn about the Messiah.
Thank you, Tom. Well, we trust that these programs are helping you on your road to spiritual maturity. If you'd like a cassette copy of this program, or you'd like information on one of our Bible studies, call us at Truth Seekers Fellowship. The number is 901-685-3385. Outside Memphis, call toll-free 866-685-3385. I'd like to also encourage you to visit our new website at www.milktomeat.org. Now join us again next time right here for The Lay Disciple.